This is Nurse Guzer News for the week of December 17th, 2018, and I'm your host, Rebecca Hartman Baker. Today's guest is Doug Dorfler. Doug is an HPC Architecture and Performance Engineer in the Advanced Technologies Group at NERSC. Doug is a motorcycle enthusiast, and his collection spans almost 50 years of motorcycle history. Doug, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So today's topic is performance portability. Now, NERSC 9 has already been announced, so for you and people in your group, that means it's kind of old news. So what's happening now with NERSC 10?
So NERSC 9 is barely out of the gates, but we're starting to think about NERSC 10. So kind of what the application and architecture community is acknowledged and recognized as the end of Moore's Law, where Moore's Law is doubling the number of transistors on a chip, you know, every 2 years, and that gives us more functionality, you know, more cores, more complex cores, etc. And so we've gotten accustomed to this application performance improvement, you know, generation over generation. And the end of Moore's Law is basically the technology we use for those chips these days is a CMOS process based on shrinking the size of the transistors gives, you know, is enabling, you know, it's basically Moore's Law. And that's coming to an end. And so pretty soon we're going to get to the transistor that, you know, only has a handful of electrons, you know, to be moved, you know, to get your state transitions. And so the end of Moore's Law is basically the end of, you know, CMOS scaling as we know it now. And so what we're trying to understand is how do we go about continuing these generational performance improvements given that reality.
Okay, so then how do we improve given that reality?
Yeah, so a lot of our architectures now are based on general purpose processing cores. And so a lot of luminaries in the computer architecture field are saying that we need to start thinking about domain-specific architectures. And so start creating chips either, you know, hardwired, you know, to implement a certain operation or programmable in some sense, for example, like a field programmable gate array to do a specific operation and do it more efficiently and more importantly, more efficiently and from a power consumption perspective, more power efficient.
Okay. So then there's also going to be issues with memory, right? Memory is not going to improve that much.
That's true. So a lot of our applications are memory bandwidth bound. So no matter how powerful we make the processor cores, you know, underneath that, we need to have the memory bandwidth to go with that. We've been addressing that issue in previous generations, for example, in the Knights Landing processor on Cori. There's high-speed memory associated with that that is kind of an Intel proprietary implementation, but it's on chip, provides very high bandwidth, and hence allows a lot higher performance for our applications if they can run out of that. From a standards-based perspective, there's what's called HBM, which is high bandwidth memory, and that's been used in, for example, GPUs for the last several years. And it's becoming more popular in other processors as well. So for example, we're starting to see that on FPGAs, and we'll potentially start seeing that on regular multi-core CPU chips in the future also. And so that's kind of industry's answer to the memory wall at this point in time. The trade-off with that is lower capacities. So that's still, from an architecture perspective, one of the issues that an industry is trying to address is, okay, we've got this really fast memory, but we still need to be able to get our full problem on there, so we still have capacity demands that we're trying to figure out.
Okay. So the machines of the future are going to be more heterogeneous, is what you're telling me.
That's what we're exploring, and how much heterogeneity do we actually need in the future systems. For example, we've been doing this for quite some time now. For example, Corey had a CPU partition and a Knight's Landing partition, where the Knight's Landing is, you know, effectively an accelerated partition. And with Perlmutter, we're going to have a CPU partition and a GPU partition. So we've had two different types of processors. The question is, for NERSC 10, do we need two, do we need three, four, you know, et cetera. If we can create specific processor technologies, for example, that give us 10 times the improvement relative to a CPU-based, you know, processor, on a specific domain of science, for example, molecular dynamics or quantum chromodynamics, some of those codes that spend a lot of time, you know, node hours on the NERSC machines now, then it may make sense to have a partition that specifically addresses that domain of science.
Okay. Well, that's going to make things really difficult for running benchmarks like LINPACK for the top 500 list.
Yeah, so we've never designed our machines to maximize LINPACK. So you're absolutely right. LINPACK is not one of our primary design criteria when we architect these machines. But that said, we've always architected towards maximizing application performance. And so you actually find that in procurements and the requests for proposals that we send out for each machine, you know, each time when we do the procurement processes. That's our primary metric that we're optimizing to, is application performance. And that said, it's difficult to even measure, you know, have a single metric that measures the application performance across a heterogeneous system. And so historically at NERSC, we've used metrics such as sustained system performance, we call SSP, and that kind of evolved into sustained system improvement, which is SSI. And recently we've done some work to mathematically characterize heterogeneous machines, and we published that in a workshop at Supercomputing this year. But the term for that is heterogeneous SSI, and it's basically measuring the individual performance of applications on the different types of architectures and combining those in some optimal way.
Okay. So how am I going to be able to run my application on a machine that has two, three, maybe four different types of architecture?
Yeah, so that's where performance portability comes into play. You had a nice podcast with Jack DeSlep earlier this year on performance portability and kind of the NERSC strategy associated with that. So we'll continue to promote that. And basically what that is continue to advise folks to choose, you know, standard-based programming methodologies and paradigms, and to have performance portability in their mind as they start evolving their codes. And some of the standards that are currently being targeted in particular is OpenMP. NERSC's strategy moving forward is to promote OpenMP 4.5 and more recently 5.0, which is starting to address some of the needs of targeting accelerators. Now, historically, there's other programming methodologies, for example, OpenACC, that was used quite a bit at Oak Ridge National Lab. And then probably in the future, what we really like to see is the C++ community and the Fortran communities to start to get targeting, developing standards-based approaches to address the heterogeneous architectures.
Okay, cool. So Doug, performance portability is something that DOE recognizes as a really important issue that we're going to be facing. Is that right?
Yeah, so the DOE has actually been addressing this subject for several years now. So there's been a series of workshops, one in 2016, one in 2017. We led up a workshop at Supercomputing this year on the subject, And our next meeting is coming up in April. It's going to be April 2nd through 4th. The title of the meeting is DOE Performance, Portability, and Productivity. And the website for that is doeP3meeting2019.lbl.gov. Let me say that one more time. doeP3meeting2019, all one word, .lbl.gov. And so we're having a call for proposals coming out real soon now, and we're looking for folks to give talks and presentations, breakout. And there's going to be some breakout sessions and some panels in that area. So if you're interested in participating, go to that website and submit a proposal.
All right. Yeah, definitely check that out. So switching gears a little bit here, Doug, how did you become an HPC architecture and performance engineer in the Advanced Technologies Group at NERSC?
So I'm an electrical engineer by training, and in particular, kind of studied analog electronics in school. But when I graduated, my first job was at Sandia National Laboratories and in a group that was doing perimeter security systems, which kind of led to programming. So I learned to program in C, and that kind of led to embedded HPC career, doing some automatic target recognition projects for the Department of Defense. And then that led to a group that was doing supercomputing and developing supercomputers. And so when I first started into that, Sandia had the original, had the ASCII Red Machine, which was one of the early Intel supercomputers. And then I worked on the ASCII Red Storm project. Kind of was the resurgence of Cray back into the supercomputing market. And yeah.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad you got into the field and are making great contributions today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so finishing up, three things that you want NERSC users to know.
I think one is what we touched on, is that looking forward, we're continue to have heterogeneous environments and to keep kind of the performance portability and some of the best practices associated with that in mind as you continue to develop your applications. Number two is there's a NESAP call for proposals, where NESAP is a program that gets you early access to Perlmutter and gives you support of NERSC resources and moving your application to Perlmutter. And number three is to have fun.
Well,
and whatever you do.
That's good advice. All three of those are good advice. Thank you so much for joining me today, Doug.
You're welcome.